Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
Satellite Sisters, welcome to the show. It is Sunday, February 12th. Sort of a two-man operation here at Satellite Sisters Technical Operations Center. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, California. On the other end of the line, my sister Julie Dolan in Dallas, Texas. Julie, how are you this Sunday?
Just great, Liz. And I kind of like this intimate setting with just two sisters at a time. I mean, of course, I like it when we're all here, too, but it's perfectly fine with just two. Mm-hmm.
We did have Monica booked for today. People need to understand. Everybody makes their best effort to do this on a Sunday when they can, but occasionally life, or in Monica's case, work, intervenes. She's on call over an occasional weekend because she is in the medical profession, and she got called into the hospital today. So nothing to be done about that. We can't complain. She's potentially saving someone's life. So even though it is inconvenient.
Which is more than we're doing, Liz, right?
That's correct. Like we take podcasting seriously, but not that seriously. That we would confuse it with life-saving medical intervention. But I know we both had a really busy week, but Julie, I feel like over the last month or so, we at Satellite Sisters have been neglecting our mailbag. There are lots of ways for people who download Satellite Sisters to interact with us, where you can find us on Facebook at The Satellite Sisters. And we have, you know, thousands of Facebook people, Facebookers in our group now. So that's great. You can tweet us. You can follow us on Twitter at Sat Sisters. Another good way to communicate with us. We have a plain old email. Yep, sure enough, we still got an email, which is sisters@satellitesisters.com. And then people can post on our blog. If you go to satellitesisters.com, you can always post your comments. So I think because we have so much interaction in so many different places from so many different people that we've just kind of let everything speak for itself without addressing some of the issues that get posted there. So you want to do a little bit of that now?
I'd love to do that, Liz, because we love hearing from people. We love all the comments that Satellite Sisters write to us about all sorts of issues. So, yes.
Yes. Okay. So the first one, of course, I'm going to mention is a Satellite Sister who gives me total credit for a huge trend unfolding in the world today. So Sari posted this on our Facebook group. And the message is, wow, Satellite Sisters have made an impact. The Today Show just featured a fashion piece on the return of the sleeve.
Oh, Liz.
Yay, thanks, Liz. No, Julie, you know how many years I've been talking about this.
I know, Liz. You would like to see a store. You have a business concept where you would like to see a store that's named Just Sleeves. You would like clothing for women with sleeves,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. I just think there is a whole group, and I'm not going to say it's necessarily just an age group, but it tends to be more concentrated in the, like, let's just say the middle to upper end of the range, where a little bit of coverage goes a long way. You know,
right.
just a little bit of coverage. So,
I mean, you'd be happy with a cap sleeve half the time,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe me, I am not talking to the wrist. Just a little bit of a cap, a little bit of a thing that covers that upper arm area. You know what I'm talking about, sisters. So apparently, Sari points out that the Today Show did this feature, but they credited Kate Middleton with causing the trend. And but she posts that they're crediting Kate Middleton, but we know it was you. And
well, I mean, of course, because Kate did have sleeves on her wedding gown. Mm-hmm. When right now, as any bride can tell you, it's nearly impossible to find any wedding gown that isn't princess style and totally sleeveless. I don't know what it is with bride gowns, but that's the way they are.
Well, that's the good thing. Kate obviously gets what Kate wants, and she had hers made, and she wanted a little bit of coverage, and she got a little bit of coverage. So, as I posted on our Facebook page, I'm really happy for Kate to get the credit. I do not need the credit because she's going to need it. She married into a rough family. So good for Kate. That's all I got to say. And good for sleeves. And I think it's a triumph for women of a certain age, even though Kate obviously is not in our age group. But then another business idea we have floated here on Satellite Sisters, Julie, was one of yours. And again, it was a business idea for women of a certain age. You said the process of shopping for a computer had convinced you that the normal geniuses they have in the genius bars and the so-called tech support, you were at an Apple store, but it's true across all these technology stores, they're like 19-year-old computer dudes, and they don't really speak your language. So you suggested what somebody needs to invent is a retail operation that's sort of computer sales Chico style, right?
Right, where you would have friendly sales representatives that are like you, that are women, that are working, that, you know, that need a computer, but you can relate to them rather than having that sort of condescending, sneering, blank stare that sometimes you get at the Apple store.
That's okay, well, Vicky wrote in, she says, this is such a brilliant idea. You really should do that. If you could figure out a way to do it, I think it would be very profitable. I'm surprised nobody's thought of it before. I wish I had the funds to open something like that. Maybe now that you've mentioned it, somebody could partner with you. I think you are onto something here. So, Julie, Vicky, as one of our Satellite Sisters, just wanted to provide you the inspiration to stay at it. Follow your idea. She thinks it's brilliant.
Okay, computers for women. Now I just need a venture capitalist, Liz. Oh, then I'll be okay. Oh, maybe a billionaire. Do you know anyone?
I don't know. The billionaires I know, I don't think they're necessarily going to glom onto that one. All right. Next up in the this came into regular old email. Again, our regular old email is sisters@satellitesisters.com. So F. Wolf emailed us on the 12th of January to say, just wanted to say this latest was an excellent podcast, especially since the audio was so good this time. So I don't know if you're joking or not, S.
But we appreciate it. You think, no, I don't think Satellite Sisters are cynical like that, Liz. No,
okay.
I'm sure if there was an issue, they'd raise it. I think they actually enjoyed listening to the podcast.
Yes, I took it that way. And so thank you, S. I really do appreciate it. I would have to say the audio week to week is a little bit up and down. We're doing the best we can here. We record the show over Skype. So I'm connected to Julie now on Skype, and we have a call recorder on my Apple laptop. And sometimes the Skype connection is good, and sometimes it's not. Or, like last week, occasionally we get that blooping sound. The constant blooping we got last week. You know, Laurel and Jean both commented on this on the Facebook page, that they could hear that constant Skypey sound in the background, like somebody was logging in or somebody was logging out. And Laurel, I have to admit that as soon as we finished recording the show, Monica said to us, you know, I heard that weird bloop sound all the way through the show. Did anyone else hear it? And I said, oh, yeah, I heard it. But that never shows up on the actual recording. Don't worry about it. You're not going to be able to hear it on the show. And then I edited together the show and posted it online. And sure enough, there it was, bloop, 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 all the way through. So today, Julie and I are attempting a bloop-free show. So I haven't heard any yet. Julie, have you heard any bloopy sounds?
Liz, I have such a ringing in my right ear that I never hear it. So I wouldn't be a good indicator. But no, I have not heard any blooping. So hopefully it will be a bloop-free show.
Okay, now Jean did post also on the Facebook page that she had a theory based on the content of last week's show about what that sound could be, and she thought it might be your leaky water heater, that what we were hearing was not bloop, 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 but drip, 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 because you did recount the tale of a water heater disaster last week.
Right, I did, and yes, it possibly could be. I hope not. I now wake up in the middle of the night listening for water sounds in my house because, yes, I had a water heater on the second floor of my house, and it broke, and now I have a giant hole in my master bathroom where all the water came. Hopefully, but thankfully, you know, people at the Satellite Sisters at our Facebook page have sent us. I think it's for everyone. Depending on
sure, the whole Satellite Sisterhood.
Emma Wang, I really shout out to you because you've not only did you post this, you took a picture of this indicator that you can get. So if you have an upstairs washer and dryer, perhaps, or if you have an upstairs water heater, or even a downstairs water heater, it is a sensor that you can put next to your equipment. And so if there's any water at all, according to Emma, it shrieks. So you get on your water disaster very early.
Oh, nice.
So you don't get quite as much water damage as perhaps I have in my house. So really, thank you for that tip. I mean, maybe I'd get, you can go on our Facebook page and you can see a picture of it. It looks like a great piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another thing in the equipment vein, we got an email from Jill in Minnesota. And Jill, it's very nice to hear from you because she points out that she used to listen to us on the radio at 107.1 in Minneapolis. Remember how much we loved being on that station, Julie?
Indeed.
Yes, we still have a lot of listeners in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area because that was a great station and we had so much fun there. But anyway, for her 50th birthday, she bought herself an iPod Shuffle, which is her first step into the great wide world of Apple. So welcome to our world, Jill. We're very happy for you. But now she's a little bit worried. I usually listen during my daily treadmill runs, but I may have to change that. I find myself bursting out in laughter. So far, I haven't had a treadmill catastrophe, but I'm concerned. From Leanne's dental episodes and jean shopping, to Monica's makeup experiences, which sound like mine, to SEAL Team 6 rescuing Katie Holmes, to someone taking malaria pills, and finally the takeover of Facebook, I'm afraid it's just a matter of time until I get caught off guard, laugh too hard, and have a treadmill mishap.
I think Jill is right. I mean, laughing and treadmill running do not mix.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil, youthful, Liz, your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
But what's to do? I mean, other than just hit the roads, it's hard to give that advice to someone in Deep Haven, Minnesota, you know, in the middle of the winter. If you lived near me in California or even near Julie in Texas, we might say get off the treadmill and go outside. But anyway, Jill, we're just so glad to have you back. And also tell your friends. There were a lot of you last week that told your friends. We got a lot of new people signing up, so that's great. And then one other technology question that I wanted to do some follow-up with you, Julie, because Cheryl wrote to us. And, you know, we've been talking to people about the fact that we have a new iPhone app and an Android app. And the iPhone app requires going to an app called Podcast Box. I'm not going to explain the whole thing right now because it's all online at satellitesisters.com. But Cheryl is having trouble finding us in Podcast Box. Am I missing something? And, well, I know you started to investigate this, right?
Right. And so I really, Cheryl, I want you to know I am on the case. Okay. I don't know what happened, but I am going to get to the bottom of this with the good folks at Podcast Box. But if in the meantime, Cheryl, we really would like to recommend Stitcher, which is a free, you know, again, it's an alternative way to listen to our podcasts. It's free, and it seems to be working fine over at Stitcher. So, but I will get you an answer about Podcast Box. I don't know what they have done to Satellite
Sisters. Yeah, I mean, for a while, we were their number one download.
Well, and of now, course we were.
Yeah. Okay. Of course we were. Of course we were. So, but you're right about Stitcher. I'm actually enjoying it because I try a little bit of everything just to see. My rule is if I can figure it out, then the average woman can figure it out. So Stitcher for me, of all of the apps that I've tried to listen, has actually been the easiest. So if you have an iPhone or an Android, you can download the Stitcher app to your phone, and then you just register the Satellite Sisters as one of your favorites, and whenever we post a show, it's just automatically there for you on your phone. And Stitcher, you can also listen to Leanne's podcast. You know, she does her own show every week called Chaos Chronicles. So I love it that now our show and Leanne's show are all right there on my phone whenever I want them. So, you know, try that. Let us know what you think. Here's the thing. When you tell us about things you've tried and whether they've worked or not, we really like to know that. But if they're not working, we can't necessarily figure it out for you, you know, but we will try.
Liz, you said that in the kindest way. You really did. That was very, because it is so true. I mean, we
would like to be able to troubleshoot everything, but we have no tech support here. It's just us chickens, you know? So when you tell us the Podcast Box isn't working, then we go to Podcast Box and try to figure it out. But it's not like we can necessarily figure it all out ourselves. But we need to know. So if you're using Stitcher and it's working, tell us. If you're using Podcast Box or if you have the Android app, just every once in a while let us know, like, hey, here's what I'm doing and it's totally working fine. That would be good, don't you think? Because then it would balance the time we spend thinking, oh, no, it's not working. So, and also thanks for telling your friends, because we noticed a lot of Facebook signups this week, but also more people, you know, I can track who's downloading the apps. which I kind of enjoy, even when I'm like traveling for business. It's just one of the things you can do, even sitting in an airport. You can go to Google Analytics and see what's going on with Satellite Sisters. So yes, I'm that much of a nerd. I may not be able to troubleshoot your tech problems, but I enjoy a good session with Google Analytics. That's just me, Joel. You know.
Well, that is just you, Liz. But we do want you to be able to listen to the podcast. We want to include you, no doubt about it. One more thing, Liz. Several people had mentioned a book to me. It's called The Orphan Master's Son by Adam Johnson, and it's a work of fiction. Okay, it's not nonfiction. It's fiction, but it is a story set in North Korea. And I was so intrigued by this recommendation. I got the book. I have just finished the book, and it's fantastic. I mean, it really took me right back to my trip to North Korea last year. I believe that Adam Johnson, the author, may have been on the same tour that I was on, because he referenced many of the same places that I went to when I was in North Korea. But it's a tremendous fictional account, but it does give you a great sense of what it's like to live in North Korea and what some of the issues are. So I highly recommend it, and I thank you for that recommendation.
All right. Well, one last book thing that just dawned on me. You know, a couple, right after the holiday, I was talking about how much I loved the Steve Jobs biography by Walter Isaacson. So Adrienne Jackson, who is a Satellite Sister, she posted on her Facebook page this week that she downloaded that book because of my recommendation, and she's just finishing the book Catherine the Great, so which she was enjoying very much. So, Adrienne, I just wanted you to know I downloaded Catherine the Great based on your recommendation. So, thank you very much. That sounds like a book that will carry me through many long airport sessions, and it might even be a little bit more interesting than Google Analytics, you know? All right. So now we have to move to the actual news today, which is sad.
Really, the passing of Whitney Houston. I mean, that it just broke my heart, because I just absolutely love her music. I always have. Her voice, she had so much talent. I mean, was she not the most beautiful person in the world when she was young? And I don't think anyone can sing as, you know, I just think that, you know, the way she sings really moves me. So it was very sad to hear of her death. Obviously, we don't know the circumstances of what happened. She does have a history of alcohol and drug abuse. And Liz, I had to say, you know, when I heard that she died, I just, without knowing the actual cause, and I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but I know that she really suffered with alcohol and drug abuse. And it just reminds you what a vicious and terrible thing it is to have a drug and alcohol problem.
Right. And that you're never totally free of it. And even if you have managed to not be actively using drugs or alcohol, the damage you've done to your body oftentimes is so severe that you can die young. Anyway, yeah, I got to say, when I heard the news last night, it was one of those things where I was really saddened, but not shocked, because it is so hard to escape from the grip of something like that. Really, really hard.
You know, I went online to Dr. Drew Pinsky's site because, you know, he was a frequent Satellite Sister, guest on our show. And he was such an expert and seemed so wise on the subject of drug and alcohol addiction. And he wrote on his site that, you know, it's very important to remember that people in the public eye, someone like Whitney Houston, they're still human beings. And many human beings have serious, underlying conditions that they're dealing with. And even though they have enormous talents and, you know, enormous gifts, sometimes they have really, really difficult issues. And just he wrote that, just as you were saying, that, you know, as we age, some of these issues of drug and alcohol abuse, that your body just can't handle that, you know, kind of abuse as you get older. And perhaps that may have contributed to her early death. But to think that she was only 48 years old.
I know. Well, let's talk about the joyful part of it for a second, because, you know, they've been playing so many of her songs and videos on TV since last night. And first of all, like, her national anthem at the Super Bowl. They played it on CNN this morning. I get choked up looking at it now, and I realize it wasn't just the beauty of her delivery, like her actual singing. As you watch that, they'll play it on the news again and again and again. She looks like she's having so much fun. You know, yeah. There was a joyfulness and excitement to the way she delivered that song, which I think is why it moved the entire country in that moment. I mean, most people that are singing the national anthem, they just look so darn terrified.
Right, like they're going to miss it. But she had such grace and ease and... Really, I remember that moment watching her sing that, and I just thought, no one else should ever sing the national anthem.
I agree.
She just now retire it. They should just, you know, have Whitney Houston or a tape of Whitney Houston sing that song.
It's not going to get any better than that, people. That's it. That's how it's done. And then the other thing I was thinking about, like one of my all-time favorite romantic movies has got to be My Bodyguard. I love that movie. I am not too proud to admit I loved that movie. I mean, I can remember, I saw it over a Thanksgiving holiday, I think. I have a very strong recollection. I know I was on vacation in New Mexico and went to see that movie. And my God, Whitney Houston was great in that. Kevin Costner, so great in that. They were both so attractive and so attractive together. That was a good, you know, vaguely trashy movie, but very...
Well, I know, it got mixed reviews, but again, Liz, I remember just absolutely loving that movie, and I love to watch it again and again. Yes. I'm happy to say, if it's ever on TV, I'm in. Even, you know, Kevin Costner, the kind of goofy haircut in it, I don't care. It was just great. And when she sings at the end, I Will Always Love You.
Oh my God.
Liz, you know, they had a story this week in the Wall Street Journal about Adele, who is, tonight is the Grammy Awards, and she's expected to win a lot of, you know, Grammys, in particular for her song Someone Like You. And they were saying that that's a song that elicits a lot of emotion. Well, I feel that about I Will Always Love You.
I'm not kidding.
But researchers...
When she runs off the plane into his arms, and then goes, oh my God, it's more than I can bear to think about. It was so perfect as a corny movie moment.
Yes, it is, Liz, and it continues to be a great moment. But these researchers were saying that there's certain elements in a song that actually create these tearjerker moments for you. Now, I am not a music theorist, as I think it's been clearly established, but there is something called an appoggiatura, okay? I don't know what that is, but it's a musical device, Liz, and what it means is that it creates like this mini roller coaster in the song, where there is some kind of tension and release. And, you know, if you listen to Adele, but if you listen to Whitney Houston sing, I mean, she had that in so many of her songs. I mean, I just, anywhere I am, Liz, even if I'm in the grocery store the other day, before her death, I heard, I Want to Dance with Someone. Well,
yeah.
Liz, I was dancing. I mean, I just can't stop. I mean, those songs were like, they're gifts. I think they are gifts to our generation, don't you think?
Yeah, and, you know, so many of those songs came out in the 80s when I was addicted to MTV. So I can also picture the various videos for various songs. You know, now I'm not really as familiar with what the videos look like. But with her, it's a whole running movie in my head. And I think Monica and I went to see her live once in Portland, Oregon. That would have been late 80s, early 90s, probably early 90s. She was at the arena in downtown Portland, and she just sang her heart out. Now, Leon always poo-pooed Whitney a little bit that she couldn't really dance. And, okay, she couldn't
do everything.
That's
all right. That's
all right. Yeah, but she could just, she was a belter, and nobody could belt like that. So watching those videos now, it does just make me happy. So you just have to allow yourself to enjoy the happiness of the way she sang and how sort of corny yet beautiful many of the songs were. I'm totally okay with that.
I was too, Liz. Yeah, so strangely, at this very sad moment, it is wonderful to have, like, for the last 24 hours, to have it be all about Whitney Houston and her great songs. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Well.
Okay. Now, you were off. You had an adventure this week, right?
I did, Liz. I did. This was kind of a super secret last-minute trip. I went to Rome, Italy, Liz. It is crazy, Liz. Okay, here's the reason why. Our brand new daughter-in-law, works at the Guggenheim Museum, and she was curating a show, which is, you know, which is a, quite a bit of responsibility, curating a show that was opening in Rome, Italy. And this is from the Guggenheim Museum. It is their collection of avant-garde art from World War II. So that means this is like Bafo, all of their great paintings.
The greatest hits of the Guggenheim.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's like Jackson Pollock, Frank Stellar. I mean, just fantastic works of art. And she was in charge of this whole show. And she had asked us, you know, when we were, when we saw her over Christmas, she said, oh, well, you know, it would be really great if you could come to the opening of the show. My international business husband, you know, he's in Europe a lot. So there was a possibility that he was going to be able to go. And fortunately, because he travels so much, he has accumulated, you know, a lot of airline points. So at the last minute.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No,
yeah. So at the last minute, Liz, I was able to go. So I have not been. So we went to the opening of this show. And if for some reason you happen to be in Italy between now and May, I highly recommend that you go to the Palazzo delle Exhibizioni. I think that's how they.
That's almost as good as the music term you just used.
Yes, Liz.
Italiano.
I have a new confidence in the Italian language, in my ability to speak the Italian language, and I'll talk about that. But anyway, you may want to go to the Palazzo and see this exhibit. But Liz, you know, the last time I went to Rome when I was a student a long, long time ago. So I haven't been since. But can I tell you, that is one heck of a city. I just.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leon Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leon's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled PROSE, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Don't they call it the Eternal City?
You forget how many incredible treasures are all jam-packed in seemingly a random fashion, I might say, because I did get lost a couple of times in that city. I mean, you got the Colosseum, you got St. Peter's, mm-hmm. you got
the Roman Forum. It is like 2,000 years, 3,000 years of history all smashed together.
Yeah, I mean, and can I just say something about the Trevi Fountain? Again, I know people consider it a tourist trap. That is one fantastic fountain. Okay, so that's all I'm saying about that.
Okay.
I arrived in Rome 2 days after they had 5 inches of snow and ice. This is the first snow that they have had in Rome in 26 years. Okay, that is not so good. Rome is far enough south that they just don't get the cold weather. But Europe is having this terrible cold spell. And there was 5 inches of snow and ice in Rome. And you know what? That doesn't really work well. And here's a couple of reasons why. Because they have those 7 hills. Yeah. So it's very hilly there. They have 3 shovels in all of Rome. Liz, every single sidewalk was completely covered in ice. I mean, it was very treacherous walking around. And then the Romans or the Italians have those cars, the Fiats, with the teeny tiny tires. Mm-hmm. Those don't get traction in snow. Mm-hmm. Or else they have scooters, like Vespas.
Okay. Also not good. Imagining now a Vespa with like chains on the tires.
Not good at all. I mean, and they did require chains. And so a lot of people made like homemade chains. I don't know what they looked like. They were necklaces that they had kind of strung together, or bungee cords that they had put on the tires of their car. I mean, it was not working out. But what it did mean was there weren't too many tourists there. So if you could navigate the streets, you had wide open views of all the great attractions there. Here's the other thing I noticed about Rome. I mean, they have incredibly attractive people.
Yeah.
Now, they're not all attractive, but somehow they manage to pull themselves together in a very attractive way. You know, even
agreed. Romans make an effort.
I don't know what it is, but you know, they could just be in regular clothes, but then they have on these like purple glasses, highly stylized purple glasses. And it's just, there's something attractive about that. It's not like I could wear purple glasses, and heaven forbid, Liz, you should not wear Italian purple glasses, but somehow when they have them on, it's like, oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my other observation is the language that Liz, I spoke Italian the whole time I was there.
That is hard for me to imagine.
Yes, Liz. Now, you know, I don't really know any Italian. I took one semester of Italian. So I have a very, very limited knowledge of Italian. But what I love about the Italians is you make any effort to say anything in Italian. They're very encouraging. They're forgiving. You know, you heard me say Palazzo dell'Esposizione. That has no bearing to what the place actually sounds like, right? Mm-hmm. But yet, they worked with me, you know, and so it encouraged me. It gave me confidence. I've been in lots of other countries where, you know, for example, Russia, you try to speak Russian and you don't get a lot of encouragement. So mm-hmm. I enjoyed that, Liz, very, very much. And I may just speak Italian from now on. That may be
just going to start taking some lessons at home, just as you're talking to yourself in the shower, driving around town, that sort of thing.
I don't really think I need lessons, Liz. I just feel like I can speak Italian. This is one of the great experiences of visiting Italy and making any effort to speak the language. You feel like you speak it.
That's really nice.
Finally, the food. Okay, I knew the food was good. But what my observation about the food is, I can't believe how much Italians eat. Because they're not really, the people I saw were not obese. But Liz, lunch, I don't know what they were doing at breakfast, but I at lunch and dinner, I have never seen people pile so much food on their plates and
cobblestones.
Right, Liz.
You know,
yes.
It's not like it's blacktop that you can just scrape along the top of it in one even motion. Whether it's you with a shovel or a big snowplow, that's tough on a 2,000-year-old cobblestone street. You know, so there are engineering challenges involved there that we don't really know in this country.
Well,
okay. All right, Rome. Molto bene.
I think that's how you say it, Liz. So that's my report on that. But then I had to get back very quickly because it was, I'm very happy to say, the fifth birthday of our granddaughter, Alice. And we had had a nice little home party before we had left. But today I was able to go to her, like a friend party. And, you know, now the trend is you invite all your friends, from school. She wanted to, and the little brothers and sisters of her friends. So she had a nice crowd. She had 18 children.
Yeah.
But it's February, so her parents were very wise, and they booked her into this gymnastics place where you just go, you show up with the kids, and they have gymnastic instructors that play, you know, that run around with the kids, and the kids get to go on the trampolines, and they get to, you know, do all of this stuff. So the head guy who was running the birthday party for Alice, I mean, he was fantastic. He was young. He was energetic. He was kind to all the children. He kept them all. You know, he was organized. He was polite. And I talked to him at the end of the birthday party, and I said, "Boy, you really do a fantastic job." And he said, "I love birthdays." I said, "I can see that you do. I mean, because I could see if this was your job to run birthday parties for 5-year-olds, it could get old very quickly."
Yeah.
But I could see that this guy really had a great deal of enthusiasm for it. And I said, "How many birthday parties do you do?" And he said, "I usually do between 8 and 10 a week."
Are you kidding? Oh,
no.
It's a good thing it's his calling then.
8 to 10 birthday parties because as soon as Alice's party was done, I mean, they're short-lived, these birthday parties, which is good. Everybody goes home happy. Nobody's crying at the end of it, which is important. But there was a whole nother group in, and he was going to start another birthday party, right after Alice's party concluded. But he does 10 of these a week. And I just thought, this guy is in the right spot. I mean,
yeah.
He loves birthday parties. He does them. He's really good at them. All the kids love it. All the parents love it. And so, you know, I mean, you just like to see a master in the right environment. Don't you, Liz? Don't
yes.
you like to see people who are really, really happy with their jobs and are doing a really good job?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this guy was doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like it. Hey, that reminds me, I want to ask you a question, and I didn't warn you that I was going to bring this up. So, you know, you can answer me next weekend. Actually, anyone listening can answer me. Speaking of people that really like their jobs, yesterday I went to the dermatologist where I go. But it wasn't a purely medical visit. It was one of those photo facials where they zap your face.
Right.
So, you know, I figure like a little round of that every few years just sort of keeps things, I don't know, I got rid of a lot of age spots last time. And so I went back and I signed up. So it's an RN, the woman that does this, Taya. She's Russian. You would totally love her, Julie. Like many of these sort of cosmeticians and beauticians you would have dealt with in all the years you were living in Russia. So she's really great. And she is also someone else who obviously takes great pleasure and great pride in like numbing your face and then zapping it.
Again, something that like you would not want to seek out as a profession, right? Or would you want to run 8 to 10 birthday parties, you know? But I know what you mean. When you interact with people like that, it's a very enjoyable experience.
Okay, so here's my question.
Okay.
So if it was a beauty salon and someone was giving you a normal facial, you would tip them. But because this is a quasi-medical environment, and she's an RN, and it's a quasi-medical, though not really, procedure, I'm just not sure what the protocol is there. would you tip a nurse who just zapped your face? I don't know the answer to that.
I think not unless you're living in Russia. Like, if you're in Russia, Liz, yes, the nurses and the doctors are looking for tips
at
the hospitals. Yes, that is very, very, that's how they, because they don't make any money at all. So, but I think here in the U.S., you don't tip nurses and doctors.
Well, that's what I would think. It's just that this is in that gray area in between nursing and beautician. You know, it's the esthetician kind of zone.
I mean, but did she have a tip jar? Were there tip envelopes when you were checking out? Well, was there anything like that?
No, there was nothing like that.
Oh, then I'd say no, Liz. Yeah.
Okay. All right. If anyone has a point of view on this, I just felt like, you know, it is that gray area. And there's no tipping book that you can look up that's really going to tell you what's appropriate, because all of these services were only invented in the last few years, you know. So the quasi-medical beauty services, I would like a little guidance on that. Okay, so that was just one thing. And then the last thing I wanted to tell you, because you were traveling on Sunday, so last weekend you missed the actual Super Bowl.
I know.
And
boy, Eli, he did it. I know. I heard after the fact, Liz.
Yes. So you feel very close to Eli Manning because he was on your son's Little League team.
Right.
And your husband actually coached him in Little League.
Yes.
When you were all living in New Orleans. So good for you, Julie. I mean, you just would have loved the fourth quarter of that football game. Can I tell you? You would have been losing your mind.
We taped it. I DVR'd it. So I am going to sit down and watch my dear, sweet Eli and see how he did. Yes.
So here's what was happening to me. I had a business trip, so I was at Los Angeles International Airport. I actually had to run there during the second quarter. I was hoping to get through security in time to be settled somewhere to watch the Madonna halftime. But it took me a little bit longer to get through security than it should have, so I missed most of the Madonna halftime. But I did see the third and the fourth quarter of the game. But the fourth quarter, my flight was due to leave, and they kept, like, every 15 minutes, they would post on the board that it was delayed, and they were pretending it was some kind of weather delay, which in Los Angeles is always laughable. Weather delay? Okay, whatever. And, we're sitting there, we're cheering, we're yelling, people are enjoying the fourth quarter, like, in the bar at the airport, and I'm thinking, like, I bet the moment this game is over, they're going to start boarding this flight. This is really just the flight crew is sitting in a lounge somewhere, and they cannot tear themselves away from a super exciting Super Bowl. And sure enough, the moment that clock ticked down to zero, all of a sudden, the light came on the board. Now boarding. It was just hilarious. But I'm okay with that, because I got a chance to see, you know, Eli close the deal. I was very happy about that. You probably heard, even though you were out of the country, that Gisele Bündchen, Tom Brady's wife, got herself into a little bit of trouble. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that, Liz. And, I'm going to stand up for Gisele.
Me too.
I was standing by her man. And, like, they pushed that, you know, they should just... Don't mess with her and don't mess with her man. So I'm standing with Gisele on this. I know she's taken a lot of heat for that. People don't think she should have opinions, but I think she should have an opinion about her husband, and you should always defend him.
I totally 100% agree with you. And you know what? On the face of it, look at the facts. What she said was absolutely true. Her husband cannot throw the ball and also catch it. Come on.
Exactly.
That's, like, if she had made some outlandish claim, then, okay, that might have been different. But she was speaking the truth in the moment, and she was hounded into saying something. So, you know, it's very rare that I stick up for supermodels.
but we're going to do it, Liz. I think we're on Gisele's bandwagon.
I think this is the moment where she did the right thing under the circumstances. Now, if the game had turned out differently and the Patriots had beaten the Giants, there's no way I would be sticking up for Gisele. But as long as her team lost, because I was rooting for the other team, then I think she did the right thing. She needed to stand up for Tom. Anyway, so sorry you missed that. I did, though, the next night when I was in a hotel room, watch the Madonna halftime on YouTube. So you got to love that about modern day travel. You just, you know, you get on the Wi-Fi in the hotel room and you can watch whatever you want anywhere you want to be. So, all right, one final thing I'm going to say, then we got to wrap it up here. Two bloops. I heard two bloops during the course of our show. So last week we had many bloops. We were like a bloop a minute here. I thought I had turned off whatever the alert was that was creating the Skype blooping sound.
Uh-huh.
But I got it down. I heard two. So podcasters, listeners, if you heard more than two bloops, let me know. But now I know I've narrowed the problem, but I have not solved the problem. So
but it's trending in the right direction.
Yes,
isn't that what economists say, Liz?
Yes, that would be true. As a leading indicator of whether or not I can tackle this problem, we're minimizing it. That's for sure. Okay, we're down to two bloops. Next week, it's zero or bust. So, okay. All right. Well, this was fun, Joel, just you and I.
It really was, Liz. And I think we discussed a range of things.
So all of the questions we asked you about how you're using our technology, how it's working for you, you know, whatever you want to let us know about that, it is helpful for us to know. We like to know that you're actually listening and enjoying. So that's always good, too. And some combination of Satellite Sisters will be back next Sunday. I think we can make that guarantee, can't we?
Absolutely, Liz.
All right. So we're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget.